Day 7. This triple world is my property, all living beings therein are my children. There are many sufferings in this world. Only I can save all living beings. I told this to all living beings, but they did not believe me because they were too much attached to desires and defilements. Therefore, I expediently expounded to them the teaching of the three vehicles and caused them to know the sufferings of the triple world. I opened, showed, and expounded the way out of the world. Those children who were resolute in mind were able to obtain the six supernatural powers, including the three major supernatural powers, and become cosknowers, or never-faltering bodhisattvas. Shariputta, with this parable, I expounded the teaching of the one Buddha vehicle to all living beings. All of you will be able to attain the enlightenment of the Buddha if you believe and receive these words of mine. This vehicle is the purest and most wonderful. This is unsurpassed by any other vehicle in all the worlds. This vehicle is approved with joy by the Buddhas. All living beings should extol it. They should make offerings to it and bow to it. The powers, emancipations, dhyana concentrations, wisdom, and all the other merits of the Buddhas, many hundreds and thousands of millions in number, are loaded in this vehicle. I will cause all my children to ride in this vehicle and enjoy themselves day and night for kalpas. The bodhisattvas and shravakas will be able to go immediately to the place of enlightenment if they ride in this jeweled vehicle. Therefore, even if you try to find another vehicle throughout the worlds of the ten quarters, you will not be able to find any other one except those given by the Buddhas expediently. The Buddha said to Shariputta, "All of you are my children. I am your father. You were under the fires of many sufferings for the past innumerable kalpas. Therefore, I saved you from the triple world with expedience. I once told you that you had attained extinction, but you eliminated only birth and death by that extinction. The extinction you attained was not the true one. What you should do now is obtain the wisdom of the Buddha. The bodhisattvas in this multitude should hear with one mind the true teaching of the Buddhas. The Buddhas, the world-honored ones, say only expediently that some are not bodhisattvas. To tell the truth, all living beings taught by the Buddhas are bodhisattvas. I said to those who have little wisdom and who are deeply attached to sensual desires, the Buddhas expound the truth that all is suffering. Those who hear this truth will have the greatest joy they've ever had. The statements of the Buddhas that all is suffering is true, not false. To those who are ignorant of the cause of suffering and who are too deeply attached to the cause of suffering to give it up even for a moment, the Buddhas expound the eight right ways as expedients. The cause of suffering is greed. When greed is eliminated, there is nothing to be attached to. The extinction of suffering is called the third truth. In order to attain this extinction, the eight right ways must be practiced. Freedom from the bonds of suffering, that is, from illusions, is called emancipation. From what illusion can one be emancipated, however, by the practice of the eight right ways? He can be emancipated only from unreal things, that is, from the five desires. Thereby, he cannot be emancipated from all illusions. The Buddhas say that he has not yet attained true extinction. Because he has not yet attained unsurpassed enlightenment, I also do not think that I have led him to the true extinction thereby. I am the king of the Dharma. I expound the Dharma without hindrance. I appeared in this world in order to give peace to all living beings. Shariputta, I expound this seal of the Dharma in order to benefit all living beings of the world. Do not propagate it carelessly at the place where you are. Anyone who rejoices at hearing this sutra and who receives it respectfully, know this, has already reached the stage of avivartika. Anyone who believes and receives this sutra should be considered to have already seen the past Buddhas, respected them, made offerings to them, and heard the Dharma from them in his previous existence. Anyone who believes that what you expound should be considered to have already seen all of us, that is, you and me, and the Samkha of Bhikkhus and the Bodhisattvas. I expound only to people of profound wisdom this sutra of the lotus flower of the wonderful Dharma, because men of little wisdom would doubt this sutra and not understand it even if they heard it. No Shravaka or Practica Buddha can understand this sutra. Even you, Shariputta, have understood this sutra only by faith. Needless to say, the other Shravakas cannot do otherwise. They will be able to follow this sutra only because they believe my words, not because they have wisdom. Shariputta, do not expound this sutra to those who are arrogant and idle and who think that the self exists. Do not expound it to men of little wisdom. They would not be able to understand it, even if they heard it, because they are deeply attached to the five desires. Those who do not believe this sutra but slander it will destroy the seeds of Buddhahood of all living beings of the world. Some will scowl at this sutra and doubt it. Listen, I will tell you how they will be punished. In my lifetime or after my extinction, some will slander this sutra and despise the person who reads and recites or copies or keeps this sutra. They will hate him, look at him with jealousy, and harbor enmity against him. Listen, I will tell you how they will be punished. When their present lives end, they will fall into the avijja hell. They will live there for a kalpa and have their rebirth in the same hell. This rebirth of theirs will be repeated for innumerable kalpas. After that, they will be reborn in the world of animals. Some of them will become dogs or small foxes. They will be bald, thin, black. They will suffer from mange and leprosy. Men will treat them mercilessly and hate and despise them. They will always suffer from hunger and thirst. Their bones will project, their flesh sag. They will always suffer in their present existence. After their death, they will be put under pieces of tile or stones. Those who destroy the seeds of Buddhahood will be punished like this. Some of them will become camels or asses. They will always be heavily loaded and beaten with sticks or whips. They will think of nothing but water and hay. Those who slander this sutra will be punished like this. Some of them will become small foxes. They will suffer from mange and leprosy. They will have only one eye. When they come to a town, they will be struck by boys. Some of them will be beaten to death. After they die, they will become boas. Their bodies will be large, 500 yojanas long. They will be deaf and stupid. They will wriggle about without legs. They will be bitten by many small vermin. They will suffer day and night. They will have no time to take a rest. Those who slander this sutra will be punished like this. Some of them will become men again. They will be foolish, short, ugly, crooked, crippled, blind, deaf, and hunchbacked. No one will believe their words. They will always have fetid breath. They will be possessed of demons, poverty-stricken and mean. They will be employed by others. Worn out, thin, and subject to many diseases, they will have no one to rely on. Anyone who employs them will not take care of them. They will lose before long what little they have earned. When they study a medicine and treat a patient with a proper remedy, the patient will have another disease or die. When they are in ill health, no one will cure them. Even when they take a good medicine, they will suffer all the more. They will be attacked by others or robbed or stolen from. Their sins will incur these misfortunes. These sinful people will never be able to see the Buddha, the King of the Saints, who expounds the Dharma and teaches all living beings. They will always be reborn in the places of difficulty in seeing the Buddha. They will be mad, deaf, or distracted. They will never be able to hear the Dharma. For as many kalpas as there are sands in the river Ganges, they will be deaf and dumb. They will not have all their sense organs. Accustomed to living in hell, they will take it for their playground. Accustomed to living in other evil regions, they will take them for their homes. They will live among camels, asses, wild boars, and dogs. Those who slander this sutra will be punished like this. When they are reborn in the world of men, deafness, blindness, dumbness, poverty, and many other defects will be their ornaments. Dropsy, diabetes, mange, leprosy, carbuncles, and many other diseases will be their garments. They will always smell bad. They will be filthy and defiled, deeply attached to the view that self exists. They will aggravate their anger. Their lust will not discriminate between humans, birds, or beasts. Those who slander this sutra will be punished like this. The Buddha said to Shariputta, a kalpa will not be long enough to describe the punishments to be inflicted upon those who slander this sutra. Therefore I tell you, do not expound this sutra to people with no wisdom. Expound it to clever people who have profound wisdom, who hear much, and who remember well, and who seek the enlightenment of the Buddha. Expound it to those who have seen many thousands of myriads of millions of Buddhas and planted the roots of good in their previous existence and who are now resolute in mind. Expound it to those who make efforts, who have compassion towards others, and who do not spare their lives. Expound it to those who respect others, who have no perfidy in them, who keep away from ignorant people, and who live alone in mountains or valleys. Shatiputta expounded to those who keep away from evil friends and who approach good friends. Expounded to the Buddha's sons who keep the precepts as cleanly and purely as they keep gems and who seek the sutra of the great vehicle. Expounded to those who are not angry but upright, gentle, compassionate towards all others and respectful of all the Buddhas. Expounded to the Buddha's sons who expound the Dharma without hindrance to the great multitude with their pure minds by telling them various stories of previous lives, parables, and similes, and also by giving them various discourses. Expound to the bhikkhus who seek the Dharma in all directions in order to obtain the knowledge of all things, who join their hands together towards the sutra of the great vehicle, who receive it respectfully, who keep it but with joy, and who do not receive even a gathi of any other sutra. Expound it to those who seek this sutra as eagerly as they seek the Sariyas of the Buddha. Expound it to those who receive this sutra and put it on their heads and who do not seek any other sutra or think of books of heresy. The Buddha said to Shariputta, those who seek the enlightenment of the Buddha are as various as previously stated. A kalpa will not be long enough to describe the variety of them. They will be able to understand this sutra by faith. Expound to them the sutra of the lotus flower of the wonderful Dharma. Chapter 4. Understanding by Faith. Thereupon the men living the life of wisdom, Saputi, Mahakayana, Mahakasyapa, and Mahamagayana, felt strange because they heard the Dharma from the Buddha that they have never heard before, and because they heard that the world-honored one had assured Shariputta of his future attainment of Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi. They felt like dancing with joy, rose from their seats, adjusted their robes, bared their right shoulders, put their right knees on the ground, joined their hands together with all their hearts, bent themselves respectfully, looked up at the honorable face, and said to the Buddha, we elders of the Samkha were already old and decrepit when we heard of Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi. We did not seek Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi because we thought that we had already attained nirvana, and also because we thought that we were too old and decrepit to do so. You have been expounding the Dharma for a long time. We have been in your congregation all the while. We were already tired when we heard of Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi, therefore we just cherish the truth that nothing is substantial, the truth that nothing is different from any other thing, and the truth that nothing more is to be sought. We did not wish to perform the bodhisattva practices, that is, to purify the world of the Buddha and to lead all living beings to Buddhahood by displaying supernatural powers, because you'd already led us out of the triple world and caused us to attain nirvana. Neither did we wish to attain Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi, which you were teaching to bodhisattvas, because we were already too old and decrepit to do so. But now we're very glad to hear that you have assured a Shravaka of his future attainment of Anuttara Samvak Sambodhi. We have the greatest joy we've ever had. We have never expected to hear such a rare teaching all of a sudden. How glad we are! We have obtained great benefits. We have obtained innumerable treasures, although we did not seek them. World-honored one, allow us to explain our understanding by telling a parable. Suppose there lived a man in a certain country. When he was a little boy, he ran away from his father. The boy lived in another country for a long time, say for 10, 20, or 50 years. As time passed by, he became poorer. He wandered about all directions, seeking food and clothing. While wandering here and there, he happened to walk towards his home country. At that time, his father stayed in the city of that country. He had been vainly looking for his son ever since. He was now very rich. He had innumerable treasures. His storehouses were filled with gold, silver, lapis lazuli, coral, amber, and crystal. He had many servants, clerks, and secretaries. He also had countless elephants, horses, carts, cows, and sheep. He invested his money in all the other countries and earned interest. He dealt with many merchants and customers. The poor son, having wandered from town to town, from country to country, from village to village, came to the city where his father was living. The father had been thinking of him for more than 50 years since he had lost him, but never told others that he had a missing son. He was alone, pining for his son. He thought, I am old and decrepit. I have many treasures. My storehouses are filled with gold, silver, and other treasures, but I have no son other than the missing one. When I die, my treasures will be scattered and lost. I have no one to transfer my treasures to. Therefore, I am always yearning for my son. The father thought again, if I can find my son and give him my treasures, I shall be happy and peaceful and have nothing more to worry about. World honored one, at that time the poor son, who had worked at various places as a day worker, happened to come to the house of his father. Standing by the gate of the house, he saw his father in the distance. His father was sitting on a lion-like seat, putting his feet on the jeweled footstool. Brahmanas, kshatriyas, and householders surrounded him respectfully. He was adorned with a necklace of pearls worth 10 million. The secretaries and servants were standing on either side of him, holding insect sweepers made of white hairs. Above him was a jeweled awning from which streamers of flowers were hanging down. Perfume was sprayed and beautiful flowers were strewn on the ground. He was exhibiting treasures and engaging in trade. Adorned with these various things, he looked extraordinarily powerful and virtuous. Seeing the exceedingly powerful father, the poor son was frightened. He regretted that he had come here. He thought, is he a king or someone like a king? This is not a place where I can get something by labor. I'd better go to the village of the poor where I can work to get food and clothing easily. If I stay here any longer, I shall be forced to work. Having thought this, the poor son ran away. The rich man, who was sitting on the lion-like seat, recognized him at first sight as his son. He was delighted. He thought, now I have found the person to whom I can transfer my treasures and storehouses. I have been thinking of my son all this time, but I have had no way to find him. Now he has come by himself all of a sudden. This is just what I wanted. I am old, but I'm not too old to lose any attachment to my treasures. He immediately dispatched a man standing beside him to quickly bring back the poor son. The messenger ran up to the poor son and caught him. The poor son was frightened. He cried, "You devil! I've done nothing wrong! Why do you catch me?" The messenger pulled him by force. The poor son thought, "I am caught, though I am not guilty. I shall be killed!" More and more frightened, the poor son fainted and fell to the ground. Seeing all this in the distance, the father said to the messengers, "I do not want him any more. Do not bring him forcibly. Pour cold water on his face. Bring him to himself. Do not talk with him any more." The father said this because he had realized that his son was too base and mean to meet a noble man like his father. He knew that the man was his son, but expediently refrained from telling to others that this was his son. The messengers poured water on the son. The son was brought to himself. The messenger said to him, "Now you are released. You can go anywhere you like." The poor son had the greatest joy he'd ever had. He stood up and went to the village of the poor to get food and clothing. Here ends day 7.